Right. Wow. Quite the intro there. Probably should have had my headphones on. Welcome, everybody. And by everybody, I mean, I don't really see anybody here in the chat, but we are doing a podcast today of the main show. And so, as you can see, guys, Levi, Dane, I'm alone. I'm all alone doing the podcast by myself for the first time ever, right? I want it to be noted right now that I don't think I've ever missed one main show podcast in the entirety of this year. At least I don't think I have, right? I haven't gotten sick. I haven't been on any of the trips. I don't know. So anyways, guys, welcome to the main show where today I'm going to be flying solo, talking about my weekend, talking about some detailing stuff, and then talking about maybe some other industry-related things as well, right? There's been a lot going on here at the Rag Company, and I feel like having an entire hour to myself, I should be able to cover a lot of those things and lay down some maybe helpful or useful information. So I guess jumping into this, Levi, Dane, how's your weekends? They're in Auto Mechanica? Okay. So housekeeping is Dane and Levi are over in Frankfurt, Germany right now for Auto Mechanica 2022. And they've been sending me some photos. They've been sending me videos, primarily of food. Delicious, delicious German food, and I am very jealous of them. It looks absolutely amazing. So they're going to be there for the week, and they're going to be spending, I believe, the next, the next week after that. I think Dane's actually going to be going down to Italy, I believe. And then Levi is actually going to be flying home and then taking a couple days off just to kind of recuperate. So, yeah, man, pretty exciting show. And based on the photos and all the videos and everything I've been seeing, I mean, Auto Mechanica looks like it is quite the event. It looks like it's a really, really big show, probably SEMA-size level of booths and whatnot, and it looks absolutely awesome. So I'm a little jealous. I have a little bit of FOMO about the whole situation, but another 2 years, I'll probably make my way down there and be able to really live up those German vibes, maybe potentially even bring my Lederhosen down for the big event. Nick, do we have any comments in here, or is this kind of just no comments? I don't think there's any comments. He's kind of looking right now. We're going to see. I don't know if there's anybody signed on or if maybe my thing's not working correctly here, but all I know is that I don't know how to use half the oh my gosh, there's a ton of comments. Oh my gosh, thank you guys. I was starting to feel really alone, and I was starting to feel like, dang. Do people really only like Dane and Levi? They don't really care. No, I'm just kidding, guys. So here we go. We got a. I'm gonna actually kind of be chiming in a little bit more in the comments than we do on a main show, just because I want a little bit of that interaction. I've been watching Dane do it on his own personal live streams on Twitch, and so I think I'll get the hang of this. So we got first from Puerto Rico in the house, and then we got some questions here. Is the 2 ounce size of OptiSeal the new updated formula? I believe so. And then Sheldon says, what's up, guys? So jealous of Dane and Levi taking up on schnitzel. Tanking up on schnitzel. I know, man. I love the German food, and I know that some people are kind of weird about German food, but I'm like, I love it. I think it's absolutely amazing, and I'm very jealous and envious of them. So we have Levi and I are watching on our way back of a cab on our way to the German restaurant. Dane, Levi, I'm beyond jealous. Eat for me, right? Eat like I would. Order something that's kind of unique and probably stomach-wrenching, and and do it for me. Do it for me. Think about me when you're making your next bathroom stop. And then we have Germany was a missed opportunity to show off your Lederhosen. I agree, Alex. And then Mario says, what up, Anthony? Should be a better show without the other two scrubs. I hope... Oh, Dane and Levi see that. That's hilarious. Okay, so you even missed the birth of your child to not miss the main show. That is true, man. Alex knows. My child was born. I was still chiming in on the comments. And then excited for Absolute. And then we have Dane's streams are our money. And then from the Mad Hatter. And then entering the restaurant. We'll watch this later. Anthony, have fun. Okay, so... anyways, so they're in Germany, they're having a good time, and if you guys are interested in seeing a lot of the updates and things like that, I'm sure Dane's going to be posting some of this stuff maybe on his main page. I know Levi might be posting some stuff on his Instagram as well. And so you can follow them along. Since I'm not there, I'm going to have to kind of compile a lot of that footage that they send from Automechanica, then kind of maybe create it into a reel or something like that for Instagram and or Facebook. So, evening, Anthony, cooking a Chinese stir fry whilst trying to watch. Sounds amazing, Graham. Yeah, that should be really good. So, let's jump into this. All right. So, housekeeping. A couple of big things have been happening here around the Rag Company. I think it's been pretty obvious that we've been very, very, very busy. So, with the release of Diamond Pro Tech, it was amazing. Such an awesome launch. A lot of positivity there. And that's still going extremely well. So, a lot of good information there, especially on the Diamond Pro Tech YouTube channel. If you haven't made your way over to there to check out some of the videos they've been putting out, please do, because they're really good and they're really informative. And they tell you exactly what you need to know about each of the Diamond Pro Tech coatings there. And then the pot was stirred up a little bit more with the release of PNS Absolute Rinseless Wash. And I think for the most part, I think 80% of the audience was very welcoming, very warming to the idea. And Jeff CC says he sees me ducking and dodging. But a lot of people are really excited. And I really appreciate that, because I think a lot of people knew how picky we are before bringing on a new rinseless wash, and it means a lot. However, there's like 20% of you guys out there that were, man, you guys are harsh. You guys are rough. We had a lot of people, a lot of skeptics, a lot of things like that. Of course, you know, it comes with creating new products, but we had a little bit more, I don't know, pushback than I think that we were even expecting as the Rag Company, helping launch Absolute. And a lot of people were, you know, asking questions of, you know, I have O&R, why should I switch? Should I make the switch? Some people were still saying that they preferred in 914, and there's the whole debacle there. But I can tell you right now that based on the first, you know, handful of comments, that these people have not tried Absolute Rinseless Wash. And so a lot of people were kind of having these preconceived opinions about the whole thing. And my best advice, guys, is to give Absolute Rinseless Wash a go and see if it's for you. See if you like it. I think it's the best dang rinseless wash that we've seen in modern day. And I think that you guys are really going to like it once you give it a shot. So, it was back to back, right? Diamond Pro Tech, Absolute Rinseless Wash. And then my team got a little stressed out yesterday because I posted a little, like a teaser. It's like a media teaser of just an unboxing of the new coating. Koch Chemie's ceramic coating offering. And the coating's been out now for a little over a year and a half in Germany. And I'm sure it's probably on display over there in Germany as well. But the coating has not been readily available to us here in the U.S. And so made a quick little teaser doing an unboxing, just kind of showing you kind of what you get in there. And if you're asking if we're going to be selling it, yes, we're going to be selling it. I think it's just a matter of getting inventory over here into the U.S. in order for us to sell it, as it's going to be coming from Koch Chemie USA. So I can answer questions on that if, you know, people have questions on it. But I know my team was like, Anthony, you're crazy. What are you doing? We just launched these other products, and why are you posting up another product? And I said, well, why not? The pot's already stirred, right? I mean, people are already going to be asking questions. So why not, right? And honestly, we're coming up on winter time now. We're just jumping into fall. Before you know it, people are not going to be doing a lot of details, not going to be doing a lot of winter stuff, especially with coatings, especially with other things because of the temperature. So making use of what we can now while the weather's still good is probably in our best interest. So Yoshi says, how's my back? I am going to cover that here in just a little bit, because I do have, as usual, a couple good stories for you. And I actually got a really good story that happened within the maybe final hours of my weekend that I'll be jumping into as well. So Sheldon says, got my Absolute coming in this Friday and can't wait to try it. Sheldon, you're going to love it, man. It's going to be amazing. All the feedback I've seen from the people that have used it has all been positive. It's all been great. We have a fantastic Amazon review. We, you know, 5 stars, and the guy was an O&R user, and he said that this is, it's amazing, and that he loved the smell, and that makes me happy because, you know, I picked the smell and all of that. So let's jump into my weekend. So this, my back kind of hurts a little bit. You can see I'm kind of hunching right now because I carry the world on my shoulders. Ugh. So I've been explaining to you guys that over the last, I don't know, a couple months, I've been wanting to do my yard work at my house, and saying that, you know, I've killed off some of my lawn to be able to replace it with rock and all this kind of stuff. And I know this may not be the most exciting topic, but trust me, it'll get a little bit better. So the plan was to kind of re-landscape my yard. And by landscape, I mean make a couple key changes in the front yard just to make it look a little bit nicer. So I kind of coordinated with my parents where it was going to be me, my mom, my dad, and Katie, my wife, to knock out the entire front yard and make some changes within a weekend, right? So within 2 days. So a couple of months ago, I killed off the grass on like the left side of my driveway. It's just kind of like this big spaced area that honestly big enough to you could park a car onto. You can probably park a big truck or even maybe a camper. Ideally, I would have put concrete there, but I got a quote for the concrete. It was like $7,000 for concrete. And it's getting expensive out there, right, with the concrete. And so I was like, dang it, as nice as that would be, I think we're going to have to rock that area instead. So when I killed off the grass, whatever it was, a couple months ago, I made the mistake of killing it off too soon. What I should have done is I should have killed it, kept watering it, or killed it, and then rolled the sod up and then got that out of there. But what I did instead was I killed the grass to where it literally fused into the dry clay soil that we have here in Idaho and became an absolute nightmare to remove. So Thursday night, I got off of work and me and my dad actually started prepping that area of the lawn. And we got out, a pickaxe, and we got out rakes and things like that just to try to remove the old layer of sod just to kind of make it a nice, you know, dirt area. And then from there on Friday, I had seven yards of 2-inch, it's called permabark. It's basically a 2-inch rock. It's like a black and kind of gray and a little bit of tan rock delivered to my house. And they dropped it right on the street in front of my driveway. So awesome, because now I couldn't park in my driveway, which, as you can imagine, would be stressed me out just a little bit. But the sheer amount of what 7 yards of rock actually is a little overwhelming, right? We did the measurements and we said, yeah, I think 7's going to be the right number. And I think visually in my head, I was like, I've seen a yard of rock. I've seen 2 yards of rock. I don't know what 7 yards of rock looks like. And I assure you guys, 7 yards is a crap ton of rock. It is more rock than you'll ever know what to do with. It's enough rock to party. It's enough rock to rock out. It's enough rock to rock out with your socks out. So, it was a ton. So what I ended up doing was getting everything prepped Friday night as well. So me and my dad, we went through. My dad's 60-something years old, man. And he is still in, like, insanely good shape. And me and him went out there and scraped up everything. We punctured, I think, 3 or 4 sprinkler lines because, you know, why not, right? It's fun. It's fun. It's fun to puncture a sprinkler line when you already have enough work cut out for you and you want just to create a little more work. So you just stab at it. You create this leak and you go, crap, I got to fix that now, right? So we went through, fixed everything, got everything prepped. What we had to do in the side yard, it was just dead grass. It was remove the grass, lay down new weed barrier, a little bit of topsoil, and then from there, you know, lay on the new rock. Easy, simple, nothing too crazy there. Whereas it was about like, I think it was on Friday, we got the rock delivered, and my wife comes out and she's like, okay, so this is the idea, this is the plan. Well, what I kind of didn't realize the plan was that we were going to be getting so many new plants, right? So she, her and my mom went to the store and bought like an insane amount of new plants for the front yard, which is awesome, and it's going to, you know, look really good, but like I wasn't expecting there to be that many. That and the fact that she wanted to reshape the sod in the front yard, like create like a design, you know, where it's like nice and curvy and all of that. And that is a whole nother project in itself, right? When you go and reshape sod and you have to put a new barrier between the sod and the rock or whatever it all was. And so me and my dad and my mom were like, okay, this is going to be a lot of work for four people, but let's see what we can do. So we removed all the rock from the front of the yard, all like it was like a mini black and tan kind of style. Moved that to the side of my house where I already had rock, dumped it, did all that. And then from there, started scraping up all the old weed fabric, pulling everything else out. And what I love is all the treasures that you find, right? You never know what the old landscapers, old home builders are going to leave out. And I found like four Monster cans, found a couple NOS cans, a couple beer cans, countless bottle caps, Coronas, Modelos, I don't know, Budweiser, whatever else. And then I found an entire fork, like a very, an abnormally large fork. It was a metal fork, but this thing was like freaking mad. It was like a salad fork. It was freaking huge. Found that in the ground. And I'm like, what else am I going to find in here if I keep digging around? So removed the old weed fabric, punctured a few more sprinkler lines, had to fix those. And then from there, we started laying topsoil and then digging the trench for the other kind of where the grass meets the rock, right? Because you have to dig a trench to put that plastic barrier that kind of rolls out and does that. And so we did that, looked really good. And at that point in time, I want to say the yard is really starting to kind of shape up and look a lot better. Is this camera zooming in my face or is it focused? I'll hold up my hand there. And it started looking really good. I mean, like we were in like 3 or 4 hours, and on Saturday morning, and I kid you not, guys, I mean, we were kicking some serious ass. I mean, we pulled out all the old rock. We pulled out all the old weed barrier. We had already dug the trench, started putting in the new separator there, and fixed the sprinkler lines that we already broke and everything like that. So, like, honestly, I was pretty impressed. Like, everybody was walking by. Like, the neighbors were starting to see all the work starting, and everybody that stopped by was like, oh, got a lot of work cut out for you. And I'm like, I know, Helen. Yeah, keep driving. Another person drives by. Hey, my yard next. And I go, holy crap, man. This is the same thing as washing a car in my driveway. Everybody's going to stop. Everybody's going to look. And everybody's got a comment to make, which, you know, it's not a bad way to meet the neighbors, right? So the Tony Show, I know, David Blowey, it is all me. I'm probably going to lose my voice at the end of this, and they're going to make me do FAQ videos, and we'll see what happens. I'm going to sound very coarse and smoky. So from there, making good time. I want to say it was like middle of the day. We actually ended up taking a break, and I went down to Costa Vida where I saw Mr. Jesse Rayo and grabbed some delicious quesadillas and some tacos and burritos, brought them back to the house. And on my way there, I stopped at one of the grocery stores there, and I picked up a case of Corona Light. And I don't know if there's any Corona drinkers there, but I did not know I like Corona Light as much as I do, because apparently it is, it's amazing. And throw a couple limes in that bad boy and you got yourself a party, right? Put a little bit of tahini on the outer rim of the bottle, and I just started going to town. So, we had a great lunch. Everything worked out great there. And me and my dad that morning, between my mom and Katie planting plants, me and my dad started moving some of that rock. Now, that rock, if I remember right, it is 16 to 18 shovels from the street into the rock into a wheelbarrow. So 16 to 18 shovels into a wheelbarrow, and then a wheelbarrow dragging that all the way out and then dumping the wheelbarrow and then spreading it. On the side yard alone, there was 30 wheelbarrows that we dumped. And at 18 scoops, 18 shovels per 30 wheelbarrow dumps, I don't know, man, do the math. It was insane. At that point, my back was already broken, but we kind of kept going. And yeah, dude, I'll never recommend doing that. I'll never, ever recommend getting 7 yards of rock and shoveling it by hand into a wheelbarrow and doing that. Rent one of those skidsters or something like that. Do literally anything other than shoveling it into a wheelbarrow and dropping it off, especially when it's 2-inch rock. Not that I think that 2-inch makes a difference. It's just you can't shovel a ton onto the shovel. You got to scoop it up. Half the crap falls off of it, and you go, what's the point? I'm literally missing half the rock every time I shovel it. And I was getting a little annoyed, right? But we made it work. Should have rented a dingo, right? Like a skidster. Yeah, exactly. And what's funny is my neighbor across the street, Drew, he's big into landscaping. He walked over. He's like, it's not too late to rent a skidster. And I said, Drew, by the time it takes me to go down to the Home Depot and rent that, I could have already had all this done. And he goes, all right, you know, whatever. Just saying, I've done it before, man. You probably should rent one. Drew, you were right. I should have absolutely rented a skidster. And that would have been substantially faster, right? Still work, but much faster than literally scooping and digging out all this rock. So from there, we ended up making some good progress on the rest of the yard. I mean, we got everything dialed in. Plants started going in. I will say, though, that a weed barrier is the devil. I mean, F that stuff, right? It's like, it's literally the worst crap in the world. And we bought like more of the premium weed barrier. It just sucks to lay down, right? It sucks when your soil is hard as crap and you're pretty much trying to put the pins into clay, but it's just annoying. It's annoying in all of its entirety. Rolling it out, getting it to where the wind doesn't start blowing it up, right? Pinning it down, making the cuts in it to where it all looks nice. Stupid. It's dumb. And I realize that there's a giant flaw in our current weed barrier selection. And mark my words, I will create a better weed fabric someday. I will. I do work for a textile company. I'll say, Jeff, I have a special request. I want TRC weed barrier, and I want it to be the best damn weed barrier there is in the market. I don't want anything to make it through this stuff. And maybe I want like a 600 GSM weed barrier or something like that. Non-absorbant, maybe a pure polypropylene material, or maybe like a pure polyester, I don't know, something. I was just very annoyed. I just hate weed fabric. I think it sucks. But laid that down, and then from there, we had to start digging to start putting all the plants in. And I want to say we did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know, we did like 15 or 16 plants. Actually, may have been up to about 20 plants, and it was a ton, man. And digging holes, like even with some new topsoil on top, digging holes down past that clay barrier just sucks. It's not fun. And my house used to be a field. I mean, that all used to just be a big, you know, farmer's field. So the rocks that are in the dirt are like insane. I mean, I'm talking like rocks this big that will just are in your dirt. I mean, they're just everywhere. I could have pulled out all of that rock in our findings and probably created another type of like landscape design out of the amount of rock that we pulled out. It was insane. I couldn't believe it. JP says, my absolute bottle arrived last night, but I put it next to my O&R on the shelf. And I put it next to my O&R on the shelf this morning, and the absolute bottle was tipped over, slashed, liquid everywhere, and a knife in the O&R bottle's hand. You should, and the O&R was also smoking a cigarette, right? Too, right? Stabbed it, you know, said, hey, you know, this guy didn't make it. Randy Ricochet says, I can relate. I rented a lift and took down a large tree in the front yard, and half my neighbors tried to hire me to do theirs. Made me wonder if I need to open a tree removal co. I know, right? And then Jeff C says, you need a heavy road fabric to hold up that rock. Expensive, though. I know, I agree. So we ended up double layering over a lot of the fabric that I got, and kind of, you know, making sure to, you know, cross over in certain sections and stuff where I felt like it was going to be really heavy. But for the most part, I mean, the plants turned out amazing. Everything was laid in the right direction. We had to coordinate because we're not landscapers, guys. Me and my family, my family likes doing yard work, but me and Katie are not that. Hence why the idea was 2-inch rock and hardy plants that required minimal to no maintenance, and that's it. And then I can have a nice good looking yard, and then focus on keeping my vehicles clean to really, you know, emphasize the good look of my front house. But yeah, so we're not landscapers. So really a lot of this stuff was just kind of trial and error, you know, seeing what looked good where and kind of going from there. And unfortunately, man, I mean, it looked pretty good. So I want to say it was on end of Saturday, we had all the weed fabric down, we had the plants down, everything was good to go. The left side of my house had, I think, like 60% of the rock, 70% of the rock. And at that point, we said, okay, that's got to be good for today. Because when I went inside, my back was in excruciating pain. I was literally, you guys are going to laugh at this, I literally went into my office and pulled down my old weightlifting belt from my glory days. It's like a legit leather big weightlifting belt with a big back piece on it. It's a custom weightlifting belt that says All Day on the back, which I thought is kind of funny. And so I went inside the house. I put that on, and keep in mind that was for like 190 pound Anthony, right? I'm a little bit heavier than that now, and so this weight belt barely cinched up by the last two notches, and cinched this thing on, and I walk out of the house, and my family starts laughing at me, and they're like, Anthony, you look like a Russian bodybuilder. And I said, what the heck's that supposed to mean? And they're like, well, your stomach is kind of hanging over the belt a little bit, and it looks like, you know, it's a little tight. And I said, guys, my back hurts so bad right now, I don't even care how I look, right? If my socks are high, if I'm wearing New Balances, I think I was wearing Brooks at the time, I don't care what I'm wearing, I don't care what I look like, all I care is that we get this stupid work done because my back hurts so much, and I wasn't cut out for this kind of stuff. So I think it was Saturday night, picture didn't, there's a pic somewhere, I think. I want to say it was Saturday night, my parents took off, I continued working and moving more of that rock into that left side of the yard because I had energy. You know when you kind of work yourself so much that it feels worse to stop working than it does to keep working? And that's the point I was at. Like, my body was broken. I was so tired. I drank like 8 beers that day, and they did nothing. Like, it was like, you know, you drink them, they do absolutely nothing. Like, it just sweated out. And they were ineffective for what they needed to do, probably because they were Corona Lights, but I mean, they were just ineffective in general. And so, Gorilla Jeeves, what's up, man? And so, ended up, like I said, just I kept working, kept going, and that was pretty much it. Sorry, guys. I got a bunch of people laughing here in the background. I don't know if they're laughing at me or if they're laughing at what's going on in the office, but they are definitely laughing. Can you hear that? Nick, can we get a air horn out there? Do we have like a 1940s steam whistle that we can to tell them get back to work? So, anyway, so continuing on. Gosh, I finished up there for that day. I called it a day, went and took a bath, put out a bunch of Epsom salt to relax my body and my mind, and I kind of soaked in there, and that was pretty much it. So Sunday morning, I had to keep going, woke up bright and early, and I kept scooping more rock, and this is where I needed to do the landscaping around the main area where we did all the plants, and so started scooping more rock, and it was about after, I want to say it was like the fifth wheelbarrow, my lower back had that feeling. You know that feeling where you feel that, like, it's like right in the middle where you feel that something happen on your spine. And I said, oh, crap, that's it, man. That's my back. It just gave out. And so stopped what I was doing and then, like, you know, said, that's fine. I'll just have to do this another time or do this later today. The problem was I still had that freaking rock in front of my driveway, and I could not stand the fact that there was rock in front of my driveway. Like, it literally was like, it's like there was like, I don't know why it was so bad. It just, I didn't like the idea of having to drive around the rock. I didn't like the idea that I still couldn't pull up into the driveway. It was just one of those where you want your cars in your driveway and you want to be happy. You don't want them out in the street. You don't want them out in other areas. I had them parked over in the plot of land. And so I went inside, told Katie, I'm like, hey, I threw up my back. I think I'm done for today. And so she's like, okay, well, do you want to take the baby? And I'll go out there and start getting some work done. Well, guys, my wife deserves the award of the year, the award of the century, whatever it is, because that woman went out there. She literally knocked out the entire 3.5 yards that were left in the street and wheeled those all into the yard and finished everything. Literally, my wife went out there, scooped up all that rock by herself, moved that wheelbarrow that I apparently couldn't move anymore, dumped it, and did the entire front yard and that 2-inch rock. And I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I was going out there periodically, like, hey, you got to take a break. Like, you got to stop. Like, you're going to hurt yourself. And she kept going, man. She was an absolute beast. And I'm very proud of her because, if she wouldn't have done that, I don't think it would have been finished by this weekend. So she spent a lot of time doing that. And it looks absolutely amazing. The rock, the plants, all of that. It's done. I don't want to think about the freaking front yard again forever. I just want to maintain it. And then maybe... I know, Mario, I felt like a wuss, right? As my wife's out there and all the neighbors are stopping by like, where's your husband at? Like, shouldn't he be doing this? And she's like, well, he hurt his back. And so they're like, well, so you're going to hurt your back too? And she's like, well, whatever. So, dude, she's a beast. She's amazing. So, Mario, one of those hot tubs I promoted would have hit the spot. Right. I'm going back to the United Kingdom. I'm going to go take a soak. So, we ended up finishing up. I think she called it good about, afternoon. And I went out there just to kind of do some touch-up, move some rocks around and things like that. And my parents came back over to see how the progress was, showed them the final result, and they were all about it. They thought it looked absolutely amazing. And I think it looks amazing as well. And by virtue of me replacing all that rock over on that left side, I now have a new... parking space that I can park on top of this rock. However, I don't really know because there's like sprinkler lines, like not even like inches underneath that. I'm wondering if you could park a car on rock that big with there being sprinkler lines below it, or if there needs to be something done to be able to do that, because it's all just a massive amount of rock. The people walking by in your neighborhood sound kind of annoying. They're nice people. They're really, really nice. I just think that nothing draws more attention than like maybe like working on your home and then other people like feeling like maybe I should work on my home, or what are they doing? What do I need to be doing, right? I don't feel that way. Like, I could walk down my street and see somebody literally breaking their back as well, doing some crazy landscaping. I just don't care that much. Like, I don't care about their business enough to ask them about it. And it's not to be rude. I don't know. That's your thing. Now, if your yard starts looking really crappy, and let's just say you start pulling a Levi and you start parking cars on your grass, I'm probably going to say something and be like, hey, kind of looks bad. But that's just me. I don't know. I will notice something that looks wrong, but like, if I probably won't even say anything, but I don't know. Certain people I think are into yard work, and I think other people are just, it's a common interest maybe people have. And I just let them know that I don't like doing this. So, I think after everything, all the work, it was about halfway through all that work, I realized that I understand why people pay for landscapers, and I understand why landscaping is so expensive. And, at the same time, I'm proud that I did it myself. We saved a ton of money. I think all in all, for the rock, the plants, the topsoil, the edging, the tools, I bought a new wheelbarrow. It sucks, but it worked. I think for everything, we were into that project probably a little under $1,400 for everything. And it was a complete, transformation. Whereas when we got the quote from the landscaping company, they said that just what we wanted to do there was, I think, $4,500 to $5,000. So the way I see it, we have saved like $3,000 that I can go and spend on more Honda parts, right? Is that how that works? Is my wife watching this? Does she know how that works like that? Maybe. So Now, the interesting story. Now, this is where if you don't give a crap about landscaping and you like car stuff, or you like better stories, then let me take a drink of this and I'll continue on to what I think is the better story. Mm. Oh, speaking of which, I just want to give a shout out to our friends over at PepsiCo. I am drinking Mountain Dew Energy Orange Breeze today. Now, what I like about Orange Breeze is that it's not just refreshing, but it's also, you know, very, very naturally flavored. It's very naturally flavored, and I feel like it's something that, I don't know, many of you would really enjoy. However, we do have the new Mountain Dew Energy Code Red on its way to the Rag Company HQ here this week that I'm really excited to dip into as well. So just a quick shout out from our friends at Pepsi since Levi isn't here. Grant Hotchy says, I don't want to be all by myself. And then Joey Blinsky says, check out Chirp Wheels, saves my back all the time. I'll have to check. I have no idea what that is, but I'll have to check it out. So this is where the story got pretty interesting. So I was finishing up the last bit of yard work and just, you know, it was maybe like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and everybody's wheeling out their trash cans around the neighborhood because trash was coming yesterday on Monday. And I saw one of my neighbors, right? So to give you an idea here, across from my street, there's a row of these really nice houses. I mean, like huge houses, 3,000, 4,000 square feet, basements, all sorts of crazy stuff, 6-car, 7-car garages. Like my side of the street is like peasants compared to these guys across the street. I mean, like the house across the street are really nice. And they're on like probably over an acre of land, and it's insane. However, I've gotten to know pretty much everybody on that strip. You know, my neighbor's across the street. His name's Drew. He's awesome. He actually ended up bringing me over some ribs halfway through the day on Saturday, which, awesome. Like home-smoked ribs and for me and my family, and that was amazing. And but so Drew's awesome. I've gotten to know him. I've not gotten to know the neighbors down the street. I told you guys I went to a pool party about a month ago and met them. However, there's been these neighbors that are kind of catty-cornered to me that everybody told me that I needed to meet. And everybody told me, they're like, dude, you need to go talk to those guys. And I said, why does everybody keep telling me that? Well, these neighbors that are catty-cornered to me apparently are car people. And they have, you know, they're into cars. They've been in the car scene or realm, whatever it might be. And I've lived there for 2 years, and in those 2 years I've lived there, I've seen a lot of crazy cars come and go out of that particular house. I've seen Shelby GT500s, I've seen Ford Lightnings, I've seen GT350s, I've seen like quite literally all these crazy Fords, I've seen Hondas go back there, I've seen like it's just a house that's beautifully nice, but just cars kind of come and go, and it's got like this crazy U-shaped driveway to where the driveway you pull in, and then it goes to the back of the house and creates an entire U and comes out around to the other side of the house. It's like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's just this giant, the property's massive. And they also have a massive shop in the back with, I believe they've told me, I've heard through the grapevine that there's like lifts back there. There's tire changers. There's bushing presses. There's all sorts of stuff. And my neighbors have told me this, and they're like, you just got to go over there. And the couple that lives there are older. They're in their 80s. They're, I mean, like the man, I want to say, is probably 86, you know, 85, 86. The woman's probably in her 80s as well. And so I always thought that was kind of weird. Like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, go knock on their door and say, hi, elderly neighbors. I hear you guys are car people. Can I come peep your wares? Can I come explore your house? That's strange. I'm not going to go do that, right? That's weird. And so I've always tried to find the in time to be able to go and talk to them. And I've talked to the woman before, and her name is Bobby, and she's really, really nice. But the only time I talked to her was like because I found like a stray cat. And I was like, hey, is this your cat? And she's like, that's not my cat. You probably shouldn't be holding stray cats. And I was like, oh, right. So anyway, Sunday night, I found my inn. I finally found my inn to be able to go and have this conversation. So apparently during Sunday, when my wife was out there, the couple had been driving by the house and kind of commenting on my wife's work as she was going, right? Telling her, good job, you know, you keep going, you're doing great. And so the husband, who again, he was like 85, 86 years old, is pulling his trash can out to the driveway. And I see him wave over at me. And so I wave at him back and I say, hey, how's it going? And he goes, did you finish up? And I said, yeah, I finished. Couldn't believe it, man. A lot of work. My wife, you know, pretty much carried the team and got it done. And she was like, oh, yeah, she's a hard worker. And I said, I know. She's pretty amazing. And I kind of started walking over to him. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm really glad, you know, we went with the bigger rock and we were talking about that for a little bit. And then he's like, well, what are you doing now, though? And I said, well, now I'm washing my cars because I couldn't stand the fact that all that rock dust got all over my cars. So I was out there washing the RSX and I just finished up washing it technically and when he had come out. And he goes, oh yeah, no, he's like, I see. He's like, you got a couple cars over there. And I said, yeah, you know, I got my Honda stuff, you know, I love my Hondas. And he kind of laughed and he's like, yeah, yeah. And you got some other ones there in the garage too. And I said, well, yeah, I said, I got the my wife's 4Runner there. And then, I got the bikes. And then I said, I got a Mitsubishi, you know, Evo. And he goes, Mitsubishi, what's that? And I said, it's like a turbo rally car. And I say, and I right when I say turbo, like his eyes kind of like light up, right? And he kind of like goes like, turbo. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like turbocharger. And he goes, I know what turbochargers are. And I said, oh, cool, right? And he said, do you like car stuff? You know, do you like other cars and things like that? And I said, well, yeah. And he's like, do you like turbos and stuff? And I said, well, yeah, pretty sweet. And he goes, well, let me show you something. So he's like, come with me. He's like, we're going to go in the garage and I'm going to kind of walk you by something. And so we go into the garage. His normal garage, guys, you'd crap your pants. Like, I knew it was big because there's already an RV bay in it. But the way it's shaped up is that it is a 14-foot door. Let's just say 14-foot door on the left, like a 25-foot door in the middle, and then another 14-foot door. So it's like a small garage door, but I mean still like a full-size garage door, then a giant RV door, and then another full-size garage door. So we walk into his garage, and I go, oh my God, this is like literally a 7-8 car garage just in the front of the house. Just this is your house, right? 7-8 cars. And he had the RV, this giant, I don't even know how big this is, the biggest RV I've ever seen, in the middle. And then to the left of that, he had two cars. To the right of that, he had another two cars flanking. So easily the length of that RV was four cars, and the width of the garage was absolutely insane. So we start walking in, and he kind of stops me, and he goes, well, before we continue, he's like, I'm going to stop off in the bathroom for a second, and then after I do that, I'm going to learn your name. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. I'll just kind of chill here for a second, right? So I stood there next to this classic car of, I don't know, whatever. I literally don't even know what it is. I can show you a picture here. This is, sorry, Nick, I probably should have sent these to you, but this is all I got, man. Can you guys see this right here on my screen? Can you see that on that camera? So I don't know what the heck that is. All I know is that, what is that? I don't know what year it is. I'm not good at these classic cars. But anyways, classic car sitting there. He comes out and he goes, so turbos, he goes, so, and he's old. Keep in mind, this conversation is like really slow paced. He's like, so tell me, what do you know? What turbo brands do you know? I'm like, brands? God, I know like Garrett. I know like BorgWarner. I know like Precision Turbo. And he kind of goes, okay. He goes, well, I used to develop and design turbochargers, and I owned a company that did turbochargers. And I said, oh, that's kind of cool, right? I'm like, what's the company? He goes, I founded, it's called Turbonetics. Have you ever heard of Turbonetics? And I'm like, what? Like, my mouth drops, my eyes, like, I'm like literally trying to keep a straight face. I'm like, are you saying that correctly? You're talking about the Turbonetics, right? And he goes, yeah, Turbonetics. And then the company that you mentioned, Precision, we own that company too. And I go, wait. I said, so you founded Turbonetics? He says, yeah, I founded it and we still own some of it. But he says that they're the founder / owner of Turbonetic Turbos and also, you know, Precision Turbo. And he's like, well, not to brag a little bit, but you can look it up. He says, my name is Bob Keller. He is basically a huge part of the modern day turbocharger design for most modern cars today. Basically, in my side research, apparently in the 70s or so, there was kind of an influx of the, you know, turbochargers being added to vehicles for efficiency purposes and also performance purposes. But the problem was is that most turbochargers were not used in an automotive design. They were used in bigger industrial applications. And so he did things for aerospace, which he specialized in for turbos, but then started incorporating that stuff for vehicles. And when doing that, he founded the company called Turbonetics, which is, I think it's called like Turbonex or something like that at first. And basically his designs and all of his creations are what paved the way for all of the other major turbo brands to date. And that includes Garrett, that includes obviously Precision since they own them, and that includes you name it, I mean all of that design work that he did, because apparently the first turbo that was created was like in the early 1900s, but then this guy is who basically took that and then, you know, made it better and made designs better. And so I'm there crapping my pants, like, because I know Turbonetics, and I'm like, dude, you're in magazines. I mean, Turbonetics was in magazines. You guys are on social media. You're one of the oldest players in the game. And he laughed and he was like, well, he's like, a big part of our business was the Hondas and all the tuner cars and all of that. And I was just like dying laughing, because I'm like, all this freaking time, the damn, you know, literally like a Mr. Turbo, whatever you want to call him, was literally, you know, living across the street from me. So end up going inside of his house, and he gets his wife up off the couch, and like, she's like, oh, we have a guest. And she's like, yeah, you're Anthony, and we met your wife. And they say, tell us all about you, right? They said, tell us, you know, your story. So I kind of start telling about my work and my job. They told me to sit down because I've been standing too long. And I sit down and we start just shooting the stuff. And they said that, yeah, basically their shop in the back, they've been selling a lot of the stuff since they had a son that passed away, unfortunately. But they had been selling a lot of his old equipment and supplies. But I mean, he had TIG welders, MIG welders. He had rotisserie, bushing presses, lifts, tire mounter, tire balancer, apparently that shop back there was an entire working shop, and it's been there this entire time. I didn't know it was there because I never met the dang people until now, and all of that. And so they said they've been selling a lot of the stuff to a couple local companies here, hence why all these other cars have been showing up to their house, because they said that one of their biggest clients was Restoration Rods here in Boise, who was buying a bunch of their equipment, and the owner of Restoration Rods would pull up in all sorts of crazy stuff, you know, every single day with, you know, something new. And basically had a great conversation. It was so cool to walk inside that house and see a bunch of Summit Racing boxes and all this stuff, because this guy's 85 years old. And We go back into the garage and he shows me, like I said, that classic car. He tells me it's a T3 turbo on there. It didn't tell me how much boost it was pushing, but like, then he walked me over to this old Oldsmobile, and he had this Oldsmobile that he converted from carbureted to fuel injected, and then upgraded the turbocharger on it, and how he wanted to throw that engine into the Oldsmobile. However, he said that there is an ECU issue where the ECU couldn't necessarily pick up on the injectors or something like that. So instead what they did is they threw a brand new Crate Coyote motor into his Oldsmobile and starts telling me about that. And we had like a good conversation about speed and power and all this stuff. And it's funny because he was like, yeah, you know, I need a reason to pull this thing out because I have no reason to ever take this thing out. So I'd love to take you for a ride. And he's like, maybe by the time we get down this strip down here, we can hit maybe 120. What do you think? And I'm like, this 85-year-old man's telling me we're about to hit 120 on a public street who's, you know, been in the car game for longer than anybody else. And I'm like, this is hilarious. And but then he did tell me, he said he wanted to see that Oldsmobile motor, that turboed Oldsmobile motor. He said there's nothing else like it. It's a full aluminum block. And he's like, I want to see that into a car before I die. And that was weird because, like, I've never heard somebody say, because when you're that age, you could say something like that and that be the absolute truth, that you want to see something happen before you die. And it kind of hit me. I'm like, geez, you know, this guy's a car lover and there's certain things that he still wants to do in the automotive world and in the car world that, you know, that he wants to accomplish before he's not here anymore. And that it was kind of a weird feeling, but again, grounds you a little bit hearing something like that. Grant Hotry says, I'll take a PT6870, please. Then thank you. And then those poor people are going to get bugged every week by Tony for Honda parts. I know, right? So from my understanding, he is still like a president/advisor of Turbonetics and Precision Turbo or something like that. But I don't know if they sold all of the company or if they still own some of it. But all I know is that they're retired and they completely live off of the income of I think the sale or the primary sale of the business, which is super interesting. So crazy, man. Crazy. I was telling the couple, I said, you know, you're like, your turbos were like in like video games and all sorts of stuff. And they're like, video games? That's interesting. We didn't know that. I said, I'm like, guy, like Turbonetics, I mean, like literally 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was massive. Yeah. Yeah. But so Bob Keller, yeah. So Nick just looked up, he's in the SEMA Hall of Fame. Look up Bob Keller, SEMA Hall of Fame, and you'll read all about him. And crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But that's how important of a person he is. And he basically told me, he's like, dude, I can tell you everything about turbo, not dude, but he says, well, son, I could tell you everything about turbochargers that there is, you know, everything from, you know, I mean, like how they spool. He can tell me about, you know, pressure ratings. He can tell me about what type of, you know, turbines best to use, turbine shape. I mean, like it's insane how knowledgeable he was. I was just like, dude, this is over my head. I don't know. This is crazy. So, yeah, man, it was pretty wild. So I met him, went back to the house. Katie was like, where were you out there? Why were you out there for so long? And I told her and I said, because like I met the guy that founded Turbonetics and you know, and all that, and basically the modern day turbocharger guy. And she goes, well, that's cool, I guess. And I said, Katie, you don't understand. You don't understand how crazy this is, right? Yeah, it was like, you never know, man. Like, right? Like I would have never known, and I would have kicked myself if I would have waited another 5 years. Maybe something would have happened. They would have passed away and I wouldn't be able to go over and meet them. But the good news is that I think that, you know, I've opened the door now to be able to go over there, say hi again, maybe go check out some of their other stuff, go for a rip in his Coyote swapped Oldsmobile and things like that. Kind of a surreal thing when you meet somebody that's that close to home in that automotive world, and pretty sweet. So that's pretty much how I ended my Sunday night, right? Right when I thought nothing else was interesting was going to happen. I mean, that happens within the last, you know, hour of me going to bed on Sunday night, and that was really cool. So JP says, how do you feel about the path to EVs and the solemn death of every sports car? I think you should make an exemption of like 5% of high-end sporty car, of sporty or muscle cars. It would still help with emissions. I'm not an electric guy, really. I've been in some really cool electric cars. I think it's just a sound thing for me, man. It's a sound and feeling thing that I have a hard time being able to let go of. But sound and feeling that can't be replaced artificially, right? So, for example, if you were able to create like battery whine sound or like some type of crazy sound naturally by a mechanical thing of the vehicle, I think I could be like, okay, I can get this, right? Or if it was like a turbine, right? Or if it was like a jet motor or a jet engine or things like that, something that has that raw visceral sound and feel, I can get behind. It's just the quietness is the only thing, right? The speed's there. It's just how the heck are you going to know you're going fast unless you can actually feel everything and hear everything? So I don't really know. I don't really know what my thoughts are, but I mean, that's where the world's going. I mean, it's going to get there eventually. So is what it is. I forget I'm the only person talking on this. So that was pretty much it, guys. I went for an entire hour. I cannot believe it. Almost an entire hour. Pretty insane. So I think it's going to wrap it up, guys. Pretty crazy story towards the end there. I don't really know what else to say other than I got to go get to know him more. Go, learn more about that kind of stuff and maybe see if he can, you know, loan me some shop time there in the back that I can work on a project or something. I still have to see the shop. I haven't seen back there yet. All I know is he's got everything back there. I just need to go check it out. So I guess this Thursday it's going to be me, hopefully Josh Brodel, and hopefully next day Nate for Q&A Thursday, laying down some of that detailing knowledge and having fun and making jokes and all that. Joey Belinsky says you can still buy a brand new GTI with a manual, but too bad it looks like the MK8 on the exterior. Yeah, I know. I'm excited about the Supra finally being a manual. I think that's actually really cool. I don't know if it still drives like a BMW, but I think it's a step in the right direction. I think a lot of these car manufacturers are probably going to be kicking out these last few big hitter enthusiast cars before maybe the shift starts to happen. Because I mean, it is already happening with Dodge and whatnot. So we'll see what happens from all the other companies. But yeah, man, hold on to those turbo cars that you have now, right? They'll go away eventually. So that's it, guys. That's all I got for today. So stay tuned for this Thursday's Q&A. Next week, am I by myself again? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if somebody else wants to join me. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. My voice is gone. Talking for an entire hour. Hopefully you guys didn't get too sick of me. So as always, thanks for watching. And stay tuned for more Q&As, more main shows, and everything else right here on The Rad Company. Have a great rest of the week, guys. See ya.